You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Tuesday and it's July 29th, and we're asking you about jetpacks today. Would you like your very own jetpack? And if you had one, where would you go? Or would you like NASA to send another man to the moon? Is that something you'd like to see? Is it worth the millions, billions of dollars it might cost? Give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or drop us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Now we're going to move on to President Bush, who yesterday met with the new Pakistani Prime Minister, Yusuf Razi Gilani, in Washington for the very first time. And here's a bit of what the Prime Minister had to say.
We are committed to fight against those extremists and terrorists who are destroying and making the world not safe.
A commitment this coming just hours after a suspected U.S. missile strike killed six alleged Taliban fighters, not in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan. They met, the president and the prime minister, at a time of increasing tensions between the allies as Taliban attacks against U.S. troops have grown bolder and more frequent. But the two countries, while relying on one another, don't always see eye to eye. Joining us for a closer look is Stephen Cohen, a senior at the Brookings Institution and author of the book, An Idea of Pakistan. He spent 30 years studying the region. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Right now, what is the U.S.'s Pakistan policy?
Well, I think it's certainly shifted a great deal from what it was even a year ago. I think that the administration has decided to support this new civilian government. It has democratic legitimacy. It's still number one priority is still the war, the so what they call the war on terrorism, although that term isn't used as much as it used to be. And thirdly, and secondarily, and of a lesser interest, is concern about Pakistan's nuclear program. That remains a concern, but to address that, you have to go through Pakistan itself. So there's no interest in a direct action against the nuclear program.
Would you call the U.S. and Pakistan uncomfortable bedfellows? Pakistan needs the money, the funding that we provide, and the U.S. needs Pakistan for entry into Afghanistan as well as in helping battle al-Qaeda in the northwest provinces of Pakistan.
Well, I think it's more than money. I think it's political support. I think it's strategic and diplomatic support, and not simply for Pakistan's policy vis-a-vis Afghanistan, but Pakistan's relations with India. I think the administration has come to the conclusion that, or some American politicians now are talking about the need to not only address Pakistan's domestic instability and chaos, which is marked, but also Pakistan's external environment, which implies a relationship with India. So I think Obama said this, and I think the other politicians may agree with it. Pakistan is a state in a period of acute crisis. It's gone on for 10 or 15 years now. This is not something recent. So our concern with Pakistan is about Pakistan's integrity and not simply support that Pakistanis may give to the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Well, then what do you make of this new prime minister, Yusuf Gilani? It's certainly the first time Americans have seen him up close in any sense, and he represents a new kind of very soft-spoken leader for the people of Pakistan, certainly after Musharraf.
Yeah, after Musharraf, anybody would be soft-spoken. He's a quiet man, although in Urdu, in Punjabi, he's much more articulate than he is in English. But he was a party functionary. He was close to Benazir Bhutto. He served 5 years in prison. He's one of those dedicated Pakistan People's Party cadres who've spent their lives to supporting Benazir and the idea of a liberal, secular party in Pakistan. I think he represents, from an American perspective, the best government we're ever going to get in Pakistan. Not himself personally, but the people around him and the party structure. It is the only coherent political party in Pakistan other than the army. So I think we're not going to get any better than he gets. And what concerns me is that he and the PPP have stumbled during this first couple of months. Whether they can manage to turn Pakistan around is still doubtful, but I think that we have no choice but, in a sense, to support them and give them 6 months or a year before any clear results come out. I think we can afford to wait. I don't think Taliban is a problem, but I don't think Afghanistan is a problem, but I think that there's no other strategy, so we, in a sense, we have to do that.
Does the U.S. feel that same way? I mean, last week you had not only Condoleezza Rice, but you also had the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mullen saying that Pakistan needs to do more, and they're well aware that this new government is terribly fragile.
I think they're saying that, not addressed to the government, because I don't think there's any problem there, but I think they're addressing that to the Pakistan military. I was at a dinner last night with Jelani, and he said that the first Afghan war against the Soviets was Charlie Wilson's war, which implies an American war. This war, he said, is Benazir Bhutto's war, which implies a Pakistani war. So I think that our major concern is with the Pakistan military. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that these civilians in this government want to see Islamic radicalism eradicated from Pakistan and would like to stop their support any support from Pakistan for the Taliban in Afghanistan. But the army has different views. The army has always seen Afghanistan as
a very powerful army, I might add.
The civilians can order the army to do something, and the army may or may not do it. And the further, the army may not be equipped to deal with counterinsurgency, which is the task at hand. They may simply not have the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our public remarks are addressed as much to the army. And that's why we agreed to the sale of or the upgrading of the F-16 aircraft for Pakistan as an incentive for the army.
Okay, Stephen Cohen, we'll have to leave it there. Many thanks to you.
Good morning. Thank you. Happy to help you. Bye.
Stephen Cohen is senior at the Brookings Institution and author of the book, An Idea of Pakistan.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.